City 93. This is your host, as always, Elliot Barr. And if I sound like I'm in a chipper mood, it is because the Kickers have finished on a homestand. What, 10 points out of 12, Matt?
10 points out of 12.
Back to winning ways. We sit on top of the table. We got a good little, I wouldn't say a great buffer, but we got a good little buffer. We lead the league in goal differential. Was there not to be happy about outside of the two set pieces we let in this week?
Why you got to bring that up right now?
Well, I mean, hey, we just still got to bring ourselves back to earth a little bit. But
yeah. I think you're burying the big lead here. Talk about lead the league in goal differential. How about we just lead the league?
Yeah, that's true. We do. We just lead the league overall. Right now, the Kickers sit at 5 wins, 3 draws, 2 losses, 21 yeah, goals scored. Losses, but... All right. 21 goals scored, 11 goals given up, 10 goal differential, 18 points top of the league. That feels like a really good run. Feels like a really, really good run, and I love to see it. We got a lot to talk about this show, man. We got surprise performers, big performances, a ref that was a little messy while calling everything. but first of all, let's start off with this, man. World Cup 2026 is coming to the States, and they released these sites, like where each World Cup is going to be placed at. Unfortunately, it's not hard to tell. There won't be any World Cup in DC or Baltimore. So, Matt, I ask you this: what 3 cities are you most excited to go watch a World Cup game, if you could?
Oh, that's not the question I thought you were going to ask me. Okay.
What question you thought I was going to ask you?
Am I disappointed that DC didn't get a, you know, host site or something really basic, really simple like that?
Yeah, no. Dan Snyder ruined that. That's on Dan Snyder and Dan Snyder only.
There's probably a few other pieces to it too, but
well, sure. But it was also going to be a logistical hellscape. The fan zone was going to be in DC while the game was in Baltimore, and we already know how notorious 95 traffic is.
Dude, it's called the Mark Train. I rode that thing all the time. You know, going from College Park to Baltimore for like Orioles games and everything. It lets you out right at Camden Yards and M&T Bank.
I mean, yeah,
ain't that tough?
But still, it would have been.
Where do I want to go? I mean, I think there's no way that the U.S. would play games there, but I feel like Monterey would be a super interesting place to see a game.
Oh, yeah. That backdrop will be dope. Yeah, that's a good shot.
Vancouver, it would be – I just heard really good things about Vancouver, so I think that could be neat to see. What else? I got a place to crash in Atlanta, so maybe that's the other option. It's not as interesting necessarily, but it's free. And, you know, if you have to get there and you got to, who knows what tickets are going to cost at that point. If you can get a free hookup along the way, I think you take the free hookup.
Sure.
What about you? Where are you going?
So for me, I would really love to go to Kansas City. Because I think that would be a dope spot. Atlanta for sure. And Toronto. I think Toronto would be a really dope spot to go see, like, a Canadian game. I think that would be really dope to see.
You just really miss the Toronto 2 games on Friday afternoons?
That's what it is. I just miss, the airport roaring over the field.
I'm pretty sure they'll play the game to the same place, right?
Pretty sure. Lionel Messi's hitting free kicks if Lionel Messi's still – well, he probably will be hitting free kicks at that point in an empty park. It would be hilarious. It would be super hilarious. But you know what's not hilarious? The Kickers winning this game 3-2 over NoCo FC. And also, like, this game got pretty chippy pretty quick. Like, I think I lost count. I want to say there were maybe – 8 or 9 yellow cards? We definitely had a red card in there.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull the stats real fast.
Yeah, I know. What was it? Iman, he even got booked and almost got another, the head coach of NoCo, almost got sent off again at halftime because of how much he was chirping at the refs. And yeah, this game got heated quickly.
But yeah, I mean, just jump right into that. Then, man of the match, Destin Norman. What a dumbass. Like, okay, I can understand, you know, having, you know, one kind of, you know, excitable type yellow card where you go in, you know, a touch hard. Like, yeah, that happens in games, right?
It happens.
How often do you see it happen where the same dude, you know, goes in a minute after getting a yellow card with possibly an even more forceful tackle?
I don't know what it was, man. I don't know if Noko's thing was to, like, to be physical with Richmond or what, but whatever it was, it did not work. Like, wait, it backfired in their face multiple times.
Don't get me wrong. I appreciate my man for, you know, getting himself, you know, an extra 60 minutes off, you know, but what you doing, bro? Come on now.
it was not one of the best games. Like, I don't really want to say this was a poor ref game, but, like, it was just, like, Noko was doing stuff that was like, all right, that's a foul. Like, you know what you're doing. You know what you're doing.
Yeah, I can't really think of anything where he, like, missed a call. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there might have been, like, some little, like, ticky-tack thing, but whatever on that. But, you know, even, you know, a couple of the key calls ended up, you know, leading to stuff happening in the second half. I mean, without him, you know, it happened.
Yeah, true. And, I mean, this is taking about that point. This is the thing as well. Both teams came into this game unbeaten in the month of June. Noko, however, had three straight draws. Richmond, of course, two wins and one draw. How did you feel about not only the lineup, the first 15 minutes of this match? Like, what were your overall feelings about everything?
The lineup made sense. You know, the guys have just, you know, trashed, you know, Charlotte all over the place a week ago. Of course, you run, you know, the same guys out, you know, everybody was, you know, healthy. Why mess with a good thing? You know, the bench changed up a little bit, you know, but first 11, you know, you put a four spot on the board. Yeah. You get another go at it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we were talking about, you know, especially last episode, but even the one before that too, you know, Darren showing that, hey, if you get out there and you produce, you get to keep your spot. If you don't, there's going to be somebody biting right at, you know, your ankles to be able to get it.
Yeah, and I think one of those prime examples is between Simon and Stu. I mean, like we already mentioned, Simon is more the defensive center back. I mean, fullback, where Stu is more attacking. But you could obviously see that there where, I mean, it worked out perfectly. But Simon, these last few games, has proven he can play at this level very well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're very different players, and I don't think it's even necessarily anything where Stu did something wrong. But, you know, Simon got his chance and just, you know, gripped it with two hands, and, you know, I don't even want to say hold on for dear life because I don't think that's an accurate representation, because that suggests he's not doing well and barely holding on to it. He's, you know, firm grip.
Yeah, definitely. I think one of the things Simon does have to work on in his game is, like, those progressive passes, but those come with time. Like, I think his main job is right now is, like, yo, get in here, shut down this opposing attacking player, and clean up any mess that comes to your side. And he did that over and over again against Noko.
Yeah, and, you know, he's getting better, you know, going forward. Like, I don't think we're ever going to see him, you know, at the same comfort level, you know, dribbling forward and getting into the attack that Stu has. That's just different games altogether. But, you know, we started to see Simon, you know, make those second overlapping runs, you know, over top of Bolaños at times this game. We saw him, you know, taking the ball and actually, you know, dribbling, you know, it forward instead of just looking for a pass all the time. Like, you know, first couple times we saw him this year, he looked very mechanical in his movements. And I think he's starting to look a little bit more fluid and natural the way he's out there. And I think that's, you know, is a result of him feeling more comfortable.
Yeah. He does. He looks a lot more natural playing on a ball. And it's kind of like that back four of Payne, Ani, and Jalen. Like, they've gelled pretty quickly. And it's good to see, like, whoever is that other fullback on the other side, like, they can just easily slide in there. Nothing doesn't look off, or the production doesn't fall off.
Yeah, I think the other thing that, you know, when you have Fitch in there, it does is I think it gives Payne a little bit more freedom to push forward because, you know, the other three defenders essentially can kind of shift over and kind of almost play a de facto three in the back. You still have Zaka, you know, doing some, you know, work, you know, shielding, covering there too. So, you know, Payne can push forward more and more. And we've seen him being able to make a really good impact up the field when he's been able to get himself involved, you know, whether that's directly, you know, providing crosses, you know, to Emmy or Bentley or, you know, whomever, or even just being an outlet for Ethan or Neil. He really helps the dynamic element of the
class. Yeah, he does. Really is a real good dynamic element. I think, like, in the first, 20 minutes or so, you kind of saw that. But I think we were both talking about it during the game with just, like, they're trying to make these passes, but they're going about it a little bit too quickly, where Noko, or more essentially, like, I don't know if you recognize this or not, but they were, like, doubling on the wings. Like, they were like, all right, we're going to double Bolaños and pretty much make you work through us. Did you kind of see that same trend as well?
Yeah, I think they were, you know, certainly trying to take him away. I mean, a little bit less Bentley, but yeah. You know, certainly, you know, Bolaños. I mean, you know, Amon Zayed, the Northern Colorado coach, he's played in this league before. He's been around, you know, League One, so it's not going to be a surprise to him that, you know, Darren's teams like to be able to hammer the wings, you know, pretty hard more often, you know, than not. And, you know, step one is, you know, try to take that away. You make them beat you some other way.
Yeah,
we did. But, you know, it's one of those things where it's like any other sport. You know, you game plan, you say, all right, you know, I'm going to make sure that, you know, we limit what can happen on, you know, this type of play or this type of play. If they can get around us some other way, good for them. But I'm not going to let us, you know, them beat us with, you know, the most blatant, obvious plan of attack that they have.
Yeah, and it felt like at first, like, this game was, even, like, before the red card and whatnot, it felt like this game was, like, kind of teetering because Noko had a good chance. We were kind of, like, kind of misfiring on the attack, kind of like that final third. And then the red card happened, and then, I mean, of course, like, the game changed. Noko went a little bit more defensive, but it's kind of just, like, it settled down the kickers. And once again, it opened up that space. But, like, Bolaños to make his cuts in, because now Noko can't double as they want to. So kind of left everybody one-on-one, for lack of better terms.
Yeah, and yeah, I think it opened up, you know, a lot more space for the midfield guys too, because the first part of the game, you know, we didn't see, you know, Zach, we didn't see, you know, Ethan or Neil, you know, as effective as they were the previous year. Part of it, I think, Noko is just better than Charlotte, you know, right now. So, you know, they weren't getting carved up.
Did you just see Charlotte loaned in another goalkeeper?
Yeah,
I think they're on number four of the year.
Yeah, they got some, like, random Loudon guy or something, I think. I don't know what's going on there.
I didn't mean to cut you off, but that was just – it goes into the point that we were talking about last week about, like, they keep bringing in all these random goalkeepers.
Well, that's the thing. They're not. Find a random goalkeeper and just sign him and have him be with you for the long term.
That's too hard.
Not the point right now. I think it took a little while for the guys to, you know, find their rhythm too. You know, Northern Colorado, the first time we played them, we talked about how, you know, they've had some decent experience in their roster. You know, so it's not a matter of, you know, going out there and playing against, you know, complete randoms that are just playing pro for the first time. Most of their rosters been professionals for an extended amount of time. A lot of them have League One experience. So there's that chess match at first. And then, but like you said, that red card really opened it up because, you know, our guys are, I won't say we're moving into a possession-based team, but our guys are feeling a lot more comfortable with possession than, you know, recently, especially that, you know, Neil-Ethan partnership we've talked about. And when you take, you know, piece off the game board, it just opens up more space.
Yeah, it does. It over a lot more space, man. I think, like, essentially, Neil Vinos has really flourished this year, man. From year one to now, totally different player. And I think he's even more comfortable with the system. But I think, like, having someone like Ethan Bryant behind him and Zaka, like, it just frees him up so much more, man. And it's good to see that not only did he get his name on the score sheet, but he contributed again. I think he had, what, another assist in this game? If I'm not mistaken,
I don't think they gave him one.
Yeah.
Yes. More of the league-wide conspiracy to hold our guys down.
Right. They don't want us to inflate the table too much. But Neil Villanueva's goal, man, really good play. All started off by Stephen Payne kind of dribbling to the box and I'm trying to remember. Was it Bentley who ricocheted mm-hmm. across the line?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. And then, yeah, Neil just took it off the volley. And there we go. And like, we can't express this point too much, but I mean, we can express all we want to. But like, it's really, really good to see other players on the team score outside of Terzaghi. And also to see Terzaghi score is an added bonus.
Yeah, and you know, I think we've seen a goal, you know, a couple goals like this, you know, in the past. You know, usually they were, you know, Emmy getting on the end of these low crosses, but it's being able to, you know, Bentley in this case, being able to pick his head up and really be able to pick out his pass. And I don't know if you saw Neil, I don't know if he was going for Emmy, because Emmy was also, you know, kind of right there. And you, you know, if you read the article in the paper, you know, Neil even, you know, mentioned that, you know, glad, you know, Emmy didn't touch it or anything, because that would have thrown him off. But yeah, he, I mean, he caught that square, and you know, next thing you know, the ball's already in the back. And I don't think the keeper could have done anything about it unless it just happened to hit him.
No, it perfectly plays. Like, there's, once again, there's one of those shots where, as a goalkeeper, there's nothing you can do. Like, you just raise your hands up and be like, all right, you got me. And then the second goal, like, this is the one that I really like the teamwork on it, because not only did you have Matt Bentley get a touch on the ball, you had Belonging. It was like a falling shot. But, I mean, Emmy kind of bounces off the goalkeeper, but Emmy puts it in the back of the net. But it's just like all of that attacking talent within the 18-yard box, creating all that confusion, is something that has been lacking. And I can't stop praising it enough, Matt. I just love to see it.
All right, it's a lot more fun to talk about this than you know, when it doesn't work, right?
Right.
But yeah, this is a case, you know, we were talking about at the game, like, you're going into halftime already up, you know, 1-0 at that point. So feeling decent right then. But Kimberford, Bentley, or Payne, who ended up, you know, getting the ball, you know, near the sideline there. And you know, you look at the clock, there's about 45 seconds left, you know, before stoppage time is supposed to begin. And we're both just, you know, kind of thinking, all right, screw it, just go for it. Take, you know, try to take them on. And if you lose the ball, and there's not going to be enough time for, you know, them to be able to spring a break, anything like that. Yeah. You know, take your shot at it. And he did. And yeah, a couple, like you said, a couple bounces around in the box. You know, Bolaños trying to get himself turned to, you know, take a shot, and you know, probably didn't catch it as clean as he would have wanted to. More on that theme to come later on. but yeah, Emmy shows up in the right spots more often than not in those, you know, scenarios, and not just there for the goal either, but other spots on the field. You know, when you need, you know, that little bit of a breather, he's good at showing up in the right spot to be able to, you know, gather the ball and help to recycle it, or to draw the foul, or to score the goal. That, you know, huge difference between 1-0 and 2-0 going into the half.
Oh, very much so. Up 2-0 with a man down, you're kind of like, all right, this game is more or less on cruise control at this point. Didn't feel that way, but it kind of more or less feels that way going into halftime. Which, by the way, going into halftime, I don't know if you saw it, but Iman was giving the refs a whole nother ear hole. Like, he was going at them. And I understand, like, the frustration. Like, you feel like calls are going to get you. But one, sir, you had on a sweater in Richmond in June. That's not smart. Two, your guys were pretty much, I mean, I hate to say it, but they were being reckless. Like, I understand you want to be physical, but none of those challenges more or less were being smart. And also, it didn't seem to be an adjustment on their part, unlike Richmond's part, where Richmond realized, like, okay, this ref is calling everything. Like, as soon as someone falls, he is calling it. We know we can't be as physical. Where Noko was just, they were trying to stand on top of that line as close as they can without falling off, and it bit them.
You know? Yeah, I mean, I get your, you know, you want to advocate for your guys, you want to, you know, stand up for them and everything, but nothing's going to happen at that point.
Yeah, no. Nothing's going to happen. And halftime comes, and I want to say this, man. Like, Noko didn't create any big chances. I mean, outside of the one in the first half, on the outside of the box, they had a volley, but I don't count that as a shot. But they had no, like, there weren't, like, the Richmond goals where we got to the byline, cut it across, and created those chances, you know? Like, both of their goals come out for set pieces off of questionable fouls from the ref.
They're legit.
Okay, the Simon one was legit. The Candela one, I don't know. The Finch one was hilarious to me because he know he fouled him, but he tried to just, like, drag his arm with him to make himself fall.
Yeah. I'm not going to, yeah, after going through and saying, oh, you know, the ref is really on the ball, you know, controlling it, everything well in the first half and everything, then turn right around and say, oh, well, when something went wrong for us, it was definitely the ref's fault. Like,
well, yes, I will. I will 100% blame the ref. This is how conspiracy theories work.
Nah. But I think the bigger issue is, you know, back to the why has this team come up so many goals off of crosses?
Yeah. And the funny thing is, I don't know how many goals we've given up off of crosses. We don't even lead the league in amount of crosses. I mean, set piece goals given up. That's Madison, which is still weird because most of our goals conceded are set pieces. But the first one, Marco Hernandez, I swear, this man, every time he comes to Richmond, he seems to score a goal, and I do not understand it.
They didn't give it to him. It was Cornwall that apparently got it.
Oh, really? Okay. Still, that makes you feel a little bit better.
Small victory because, you know, small victory. Guy.
Right. I swear, every time Marco Hernandez comes, man, he just seems to score against us. I don't know what it is. But what did you see on the set piece that, you know, might have caused Darren a little bit of frustration? Well, on both set pieces that might have gave Darren a little bit of frustration.
I mean, the first one, two guys running near post, both of them beat our guy to the ball. Usually, if you're going to have a free man, you have him, you know, the free man near the, you know, front post to be able to cut out anything comparatively shorter, because it wasn't a header either. That was, you know, another pretty clean volley, you know, at that point. And what's going on there?
Yeah, that was a little disappointing to see. Yeah, I mean, even then, well, I think at that point it was 2-1 on that first one. And sometimes you just get beat, but in this case, someone should have covered it. Or you at least yelled out, like, hey, but, like, make sure everyone's covered.
Well, you know, you kind of do that check before the free kick is taken. Here's the more frustrating part. We were up a man, so there's no reason, you know, there should be, you know, extras hanging around.
Yeah, right. You have the man advantage. Like, just make sure, like, this ball, I don't know, man. I'm trying to figure out a reason why, but it's just no good explanation to it, I'm pretty sure. That's the reason why Darren is probably frustrated with this game, even though it's a 3-2 win. But O'Gordon, which is by now, that's his name from now on. His name will be O'Gordon. He is Irish-Jamaican. That is his nickname.
Okay.
He had as much crap as has been given over the last 2 weeks because he denied Luke Pavone a goal. I think he denied someone else a goal. He makes up for it with a beautiful assist. Like, a beautiful assist. I don't even think I can even do this, even if I tried. But
I'm glad to hear you don't think you could provide a cross as professional.
You gotta have a little bit of self-confidence, okay? Have a little bit of self-confidence. But the way how this ball just cut across, like, the entire 18-yard box, perfect.
Now, I will say one thing I've noticed with him, especially the last few times I've seen him out there for us, is that, you know, when he's cutting in, you know, whether it's shooting or crossing, he might strike the ball better than anybody else on the team, just with, you know, how heavy his shot is and how, you know, powerful
it can be. It comes off like a rocket, but it's low.
Yeah, like, so it's just another different dimension that, you know, our other guys, you know, don't necessarily hit the ball the same way, mm-hmm. But, you know, he's going to give us a different look potentially.
Yeah. Yeah, he will. I mean, it's a very good look at that. I mean, it's funny enough because Bolaños, I think the last thing he needed to do was, like, really just score a goal, get himself back on the score sheet. Because I don't think he scored a goal this year before this game, right?
Nope. Should have, but hadn't.
Right. So this is goal number one for him. And it's good to see him get his name off the score sheet. It's still contributing in a positive way, even after because this game was a rough game for him. Like, Noko was still making an effort to double team him, kind of mark him out the game. It was like, you know, you are not beating us. Like, you're not influencing this game. And it's good to see he still had his David Scorchy. Now, the funny thing about this goal is, I don't think he hit it. I think his knee got to it, or maybe his stomach.
He claimed kneecap.
You know, kneecap? Okay. That's good to see. Well, it still goes in the back of the net. It's a goal for him. We're up 3-1. The second set piece that we gave up, me and Shanae, we defer on it, but still, like, you're up a man. You shouldn't be giving this goal up. But it just seems like the Noko player, like, peeled wide and then headed it back across, and then Zaka got to it last.
Didn't even peel wide. That play looked like straight out of, you know, like, you know, U12 trying to be clever type stuff. You know, look back at the tape. You know, it's Cornwall again. He's just out there, like, at the edge of, you know, the corner of the penalty box, you know, tying his shoe and everything. Nobody's paying damn lick of attention to him, so he's wide open.
Oh, that's bad.
And they play it to him. He heads it back across, and, you know, I guess Fowler got the, you know, last touch on it. But, you know, then, how do you let a guy, you know, just that wide open, you know, on a set piece? You know, players are good enough at this level to pick out a wide open guy. How do you let that happen when you're up a man?
Yeah, that's another. I didn't get a chance to talk. Did you talk to Darren after this game?
No.
Okay. I'm imagining Darren has some very choice words, and I'm pretty sure there's going to be some training on set piece defending after this match, because that's not good. Like, yeah, sometimes you just get beat, but to get beaten twice with an extra man, yeah, that's not good at all.
Yeah, because, I mean, like I said, it's the type of thing you think when you're in middle school, you think it's like a clever, like, backyard type of play, and it worked at a professional level. Come on.
That is so bad. That is so bad. Oh, that is bad. So, look, I want to ask you about this as well. Like, I want to say maybe the last 2 years, I won't count 2019, but the last 2 years, like, if we weren't normally going to win a game unless Akira stood on his head. We haven't seen that as much. Do you think that is a good thing? Or do you think it's just like, I'm phrasing it this way. Do you think the kickers are relying, as they were in the past, on Akira to be on top of his head to win games? Or do you think they can be like, huh?
I mean, obviously not, right?
Yeah.
Because in the past, you know, it was, hey, we're a low-scoring team except for one guy. Now, you know, the guys are, what is it right now? 6 goals clear at the top. It's the top, you know, scoring team in the league. You know, almost, you know, scoring 2 a game at this point. So I think right now we're seeing, you know, a lot of all or nothing defensively. Like, they're pitching shutouts or they're giving up 2.
Yeah.
Which I don't know how sustainable that's going to be necessarily. I mean, I'd love all shutouts all the time. Probably, unfortunately, not going to happen that way. No. But I mean, I'm happy to take my chances. You know, if they can limit it to 1,
yeah, limit it to 1 would be good. I mean, let me see something real quick. I think the most we've given up in a game so far, I think, is this 2, if I'm not mistaken.
I mean, other than the Open Cup game, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that became outstanding. But I mean, like, outside of that, you haven't really given up that many. Any other goals? You really haven't. And I mean, the defense is still doing really well because, like we said before, like, Noko wasn't creating any chances outside of the 2 set pieces that were given to him. So if you don't have those 2 set pieces, you walk out of here with a clean sheet and single-digit goals given up, you know, 11 games to the season. That to me seems like very good. I'm pretty sure Darren is still looking at the positive from that standpoint.
Yeah, and the fact that, like you made reference to, we're not needing Akira to stand on his head. Like at the end of every game, you know, the team always puts out there, like, you know, save of the match or whatever. Some of those, they've had to stretch to find something that was worthy.
Yeah.
That's a good sign most of the time. Right.
Some of those they had to stretch a little bit to be like, all right, did he touch the ball? Yeah, okay. It's the same. You can put it on there. But yeah, man, it just goes to that mantra of Darren got the right depth. He got the right depth, and it's good to see also like this center back pairing between Ani and Jalen, which I think we were talking about at the beginning of the preseason, like we were concerned about, has shown to be really positive and good.
Yeah, they've been far better than I expected.
Right.
Like, I mean, realistically, I thought Dakota was going to be one of them at the start of the year. I thought that's why he was brought in, because I didn't know if Ani was going to be a good match with Jalen. I think we saw plenty of one or the other last year, but I don't know if we ever saw both of them together.
No, not on the field. That partner is a center back duo, no. Yeah. But I mean, right now, like, I hate to say it, but like, almost like Stu, Dakota's kind of like the odd man out, which is not a bad problem to have.
Yeah, and there's going to be times where the schedule gets congested again, and wouldn't be surprised to see him pop in for any one of Zaka, Jalen, or Ani, because he can fill any of those spots, which I think for him that could be really good asset, but also maybe could be a detriment for his ability too, because he can go into any of the spots.
Yeah. Do you think there's any chance we see him at center back, or do you think like that's not happening under Darren? Like, you think he's strictly a center back to mid?
I feel like he's played center back in a couple of the Open Cup games, so we've seen him there. I cannot imagine that Jalen and Ani are both going to make it through the entire rest of the year without missing a game.
That'd be great.
Because of yellows or whatever. As I say this, I do realize that a couple weeks ago when Jalen missed, I think Cole came in and at center back, did a job there. So yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe he is just a midfielder for us.
Yeah, be interesting to see. But I think that kind of wraps up that game. I mean, once again, 10 points at home, unbeaten at home during the first part of June. That I think we were kind of going through that skid. We were just like, all right, June is an important month. Like, you got to pick up points. And then before the month of June, we were like, whoo, where are these points coming from? And now we're through it, and we're like, whoo, we got 10. Top of the table.
So who you got as your players of the game?
Oh, man. I know you're going to ask this, and I've been thinking about it.
It's not a surprise we do this every week.
I know, but and I'm still struggling to think about it.
All right, I'll give you a minute. I'll fill you in with who I put down.
All right, I can tell you who I got. At all 3 points, I'm going to go with my man, Stephen Payne. Not only was it his birthday, but he got an assist. He did a wonderful job bombarding up and down that right flank. It's his. That right back spot has been a hole for us for the last 2 years, even since Ian Antley got hurt. And he has filled it tremendously. I like it. He's filled it tremendously. At 2, I'm going to go opposite. I'm going to go with the other fullback, Mr. Simon. Mr. Simon says he did a great job defensively. He had a really tough job because Doko's like, it was like a weird thing. Like, their center back, left back, and winger were doing. Like, they did like a whole like rotation. Like, one will fill in for the other and whatnot. And he did a really good job handling that. I do want him to work slightly on his passes moving forward, but like we said before, that just takes time. Did well. And then one, who am I going to want to? I'm going to give it to Zaka. Because Zaka don't get enough love, but the amount of fires that man has put out in that game and in previous games, he deserves some love.
All right. I like it. No matches with me this week. slight match, but no like exact matches. I gave my 3 to Neil. Like we were talking about earlier, he's just been able to, really step it up, be the kind of, conductor in the midfield. He gets the goal to get things going, but just the way he was able to help control possession, keep you know, things moving pretty smooth throughout. I think, you know, he was far and away the best player on the field. I gave my two to Emmy. You know, A, he got a goal, but B, I think a lot of the work he does is underappreciated sometimes. And unfortunately, I think we saw just how important some of that work is at the end of the game when he did come out. You know, because the guys were playing 11v10, you know, but there's probably not going to be a better way to say this, but, you know, that, you know, replacement, you know, front line, you know, up there, you know, with, you know, Gordon and Luke and who had Bima, you know, we were not able to hold the ball very well at all at that point. And, you know, if you didn't know any better, you would have thought Northern Colorado was a team with, you know, 10 guys for the last, you know, 10 minutes. I mean, you would have thought they were the ones with 11. We had 10 for the last 10 minutes or so. You know, so I think, you know, Emmy would have done a much better job of, you know, being able to hold the ball, because that's what he does. You know, he's able to, you know, be that, you know, outlet and, you know, make everybody else look a lot better. So that's why I gave him my two.
Yeah. Not a bad pickup there.
Yeah. And then I gave, you know, Payne my one, you know, for the week. A lot of the same reasons you were talking about.
Yeah. I look, man, anytime I see an assist from that right back spot for what we saw last year, I'm giving you automatic three. Give me an automatic three. He's already above Calvo offensively.
I'm surprised you're willing to speak the name.
It's slowly getting better because I'm seeing production. I'm seeing good production. Oddly enough, we got a midweek game. This game was already scheduled to be midweek, but it's just weird to have a Henny Derby on a Thursday night and a Saturday night. How do you think this game goes? Because both teams kind of go into this game with a little bit. Well, we go in there with a lot of momentum. Fort Madison comes in with a little bit of momentum with their 2-2 draw with South Georgia Tormenta. They get the 1-0 win over us. Do you see things changing going up to Madison this time around, and Madison is coming off a little bit of short rest?
I hope so. You know, I think the guys who have been with the team for, you know, a couple of years now should be hungry for it, because that's been a tough place, you know, for them over the years. I'm pretty sure I remember both games up there last year just being brutally boring.
Yeah, 1-0 and then a 0-0 draw.
Yeah. So I think there's that. But also, look, this team has shown in the last couple of years that at City Stadium, they are a force to be reckoned with. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, if they want to be able to, you know, solidify and secure their spot up at the top, you know, these next two games, you know, at Madison, at Tucson, there's, you know, the ones that you have to start being able to show that you, you know, deserve, you know, to be, you know, considered one of the top teams in the league, and you can start being able to produce results away from your home field.
Yeah, I think that's very true, because I mean, Fort Madison is going to come into a good patch with two wins out of the last four games. They haven't dropped points, but also, like, you gotta, like you said, you gotta go on the road and beat these teams. Like, you gotta be able to. Richmond should dominate Tucson. Let's just be frank. I'm not saying like Tucson's a bad team, but like roster wise, they're the weakest. You had never won in Tucson. You've only had one win and four in Madison in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
I think these two games are like, if you want to end the month on a high note, I think if I'm being safe, 4 points is good, but getting all six is definitely like, that would really push you out above everyone else. And I'd be also like, how good would it be to not only start this weekend's slate of games with already a 4-point cushion on top of the table, but you could possibly end it on a 4-point cushion? That feels really good, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's an opportunity to be able to, you know, build a little bit of a gap, you know, not just, you know, first to second, because that's going to stay tight, you know, probably no matter what for a while, but, you know, between even already, you know, the playoff cut line, right? Yeah. So right now, it's a 4-point gap. It's not a ton. I mean, it's early in the season still, so it's not going to be but so large. But if you can start to be able to build significant distance, you know, between some individual teams, like even right now, 10 points clear of Tucson, beat them, you're 13 points clear of them. That's going to be a lot to overcome, you know, even over the course of just, you know, 17 or 18 games, yeah, right? That's still almost a point of game you have to make up if you're Tucson at that point.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, also, Richmond kind of luck up with these two matchups, because not only do we catch, because I imagine Ford Madison probably left tonight, today, to fly back to Madison, you know, whatnot. They're coming off a short rest. But then you also catch Tucson coming off a short rest as well, because they have to fly out to Chattanooga on Saturday and then turn around and play on a Wednesday. So you catch two teams on short rest. Also on top of that, Madison then has to turn around and play on Sunday against Charlotte on the road. So you imagine there's going to be some type of conservation or whatnot. That, I mean, it is a rivalry game, so I'm pretty sure this is the game they're probably going to go all out for. But still, like, you're catching these two teams at the best moment, you know?
Yeah, I mean, as much as back-to-back away games, you know, can be positioned well, they're positioned well.
Yeah. And I mean, like, also, like, Tucson right now is the worst home team in USL. One win, three draws, three goals given up, seven goals. I mean, three goals scored, seven goals given up. So that's a winnable game. But then for Madison at home, I mean, they're kind of like mid-table, two wins, one draw, two losses. And they're kind of even on goal difference. So, like, they'll score a goal, but they can also give up a goal, you know. And it's just all about, can Richmond just play good defense? Like, what, like, who on the team right now, outside of, you know, the name, the usual ones that we can name, Bolaños, Emmy, I was about to say Trezaghi, but of course that's Emmy, Ethan and Neil, like, who do you think else is going to be important to this team?
I think for this upcoming game against Madison, I think, you know, it's going to be on Zaka, mm-hmm, in particular, because Madison's midfielder Cassini, he's starting to come into form a little bit for them. He's a midfielder.
After all the trash I talked about him,
I mean, whatever, he's had like one actually good game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's the guy that they want to be able to play through, and they, you know, ideally have their offense, you know, going through. So if Zaka can be on his game, I think he can neutralize that. And just like we're talking about Noko, you know, taking their chances elsewhere, I'm happy to take my chances elsewhere against Madison.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's true. And I think for me, I think it's going to be the partnership of Jalen and Ani. Like, if they can do a good job of keeping a clear, clean, and kind of, you know, Zaka, he's going to do his job. He's going to clean up any mess. But just being in there, short the defense, making sure everything's organized, everything's straight, Richmond can get out of here with a win. I think another thing that to keep an eye out for is, who does Darren play at that left-back spot? It would let me know, like, what the mentality of the team is going into this matchup, whether it's with Stu, like, Richmond's going to be really attacking. They're going to look to kind of overlap on the wings. Or if it's Simon, like, all right, they're going to be a little bit more defensive. They're going to try to settle into this back three when they're pushing forward. So, that's a key matchup to me to kind of let me know the tempo and the mood of this team going forward.
Yeah, I mean, he has options. I think it depends just on maybe, A, what he anticipates, you know, Madison doing, but B, you know, where he feels most comfortable. I'm not going to be surprised at all if it's the same 11 again.
Yeah, I wouldn't be either. Like, Matt Bentley has definitely deserved this spot. Bolaños, Amy, of course, Neil, Ethan, Zaka. You can literally write down 10 out of 11. I think the only one that you can toss up on is the left back spot. That's it, yeah. Really.
Yeah. But, I mean, not to beat a dead horse, because we've talked about it so many times, but how nice is it, you know, when subs are coming in, that we can bring on subs where you don't necessarily feel like, okay, well, this is going to be a step down.
That is true. That is true. That is a good feeling where you're like, all right, here we go.
It's like, all right, you know, we got a Wayne coming in. All right, he can actually do something, you know, for us on the wing. It's not just somebody who's going to run around.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, be real. we've had those kind of subs in the past where it's like, all right, you know, go out there and be a pest.
Yeah, we've had one of those subs this season. We were just like,
all right,
yeah, he's trying.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to it. I mean, again, Thursday night, a little weird, but could make for a very relaxing weekend as a result.
It will be. It would. And also, it's the last week of school. So I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to really enjoy this. Oh, can't wait. Can't wait. All right, man. Any last things before we wrap up out of here, boss?
Not that I can think of. I'm sure there probably are plenty of other things we could talk about, but I think we hit the main stuff. I mean, a couple more, you know, key away games, you know, keep the ball, you know, rolling forward, I hope. And, the guys can, you know, start getting a few more points. I ran the math, you know, based off of last year's 28 games, you know, 40 points got, you know, in the playoffs. So it looks like with the 30 game season, it'd be, you know, 42 or 43 would be most likely to qualify. I think our goals are higher than just qualify, but, slowly but surely get into, you know, that first target number.
Yeah, true. Well, I don't got anything else. I think this is a good part of ending the podcast. Oh, also, last thing, I totally lied. Supporters jerseys. I have them. They are here, finally in the city. We're probably going to be giving those out at the home game at the start of the month. So we'll see. But with that being said, Matt, thank you. Tonight's been a good show.
You're welcome.
10 points on the road. With that being said, guys, as always, you can follow us on Twitter and on Instagram at RiverCity93. Thank you guys for all the support. Make sure you go to the website. We have released the next player on the top 30 list. You might want to read it. It's a great article. As always, we'll holler at you guys later. Peace out.